Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Well, good evening, everyone, and thank you so much for coming out on a nice cold night. I'm very happy because Hawthorn won. Is anyone a Hawthorn supporter here? Yes, we are on top of the ladder, very well. And if you're a Richmond supporter, better luck next year. You've been saying that for the last 20 years. Focus on the family. We do lots of things, and you would have got a brochure when you came in, and it's such a privilege being able to work for an organisation such as Focus on the Family. We've been the recipients and the beneficiaries of Focus on the Family when our kids were younger, and then now I have the fortunate opportunity to work alongside with my beautiful wife, and we go around talking about healthy families, and that's what our mission is, to create, make helping families thrive. But it also doesn't, even if you're not really a family, we're talking about individuals as well, and we talk about a lot of variety of issues such as drugs and alcohol, suicide prevention, and healthy sexuality. And the radio is a wonderful opportunity, and ironically, when I was 14 years of age, I wanted to be a DJ on a radio station. I used to record myself. You laugh. It's not very encouraging here. I used to record myself. I used to say, this is Brett Ryan on 3XY. I've got some songs for you. And she's laughing at me now. But I'm not playing, you know, music. But hopefully what we're doing is helping people connect with a little bit of hope in an otherwise sometimes in a hopeless situation. And we're all about helping people fulfill their God-given potential. And our three greatest potentials at the moment are our sons. And yes, we will take resumes. And if you would like to send them through. But this is our family here. And Kate says she doesn't like her photos taken. So we did this as a surprise for her and the three boys. And I use a very good moisturizer. And one of my sons said that he had a friend at school. And he says, I didn't know you had three brothers.
We went somewhere recently at an engagement party and a guy walked up to Taylor and he said, I worked with someone who looks identical to you 20 years ago in the hospital. And he goes, yeah, that'd be my dad. But he goes, he goes, unless that's you. He goes, he's looking at him and he just couldn't get the two of them separated. And so it makes Brett feel really good. He goes, they think I'm really young.
Yes.
Yes, honey.
I was a teenage groom, and you're laughing at me now. It's very, but they are our greatest joy, and they're a delight for us. And we provide other different things, and we'd like to provide you with some resources tonight. If you haven't been here this morning, or you didn't take the opportunity, we've got some cards here, and you might know someone, a neighbour that might be benefiting from just a little bit of helpful advice, talking about the real issues before society does. And as we no doubt know, that society has another agenda, and there's sort of the social engineering taking place, and we need to help equip as many people as possible about how to navigate a very highly sexualized world, a world that actually wants to bring people to the lowest common denominator rather than the one that God has planned for us. And we're going to be sharing a little bit about that today. But for those who weren't here this morning, I'm going to show you a little bit of a clip about, it's called Irreplaceable, and it's a movie that looks about the state of families across the globe, and they're available at the end of the service for $10. They're a bargain. If you want to buy two, it's $20. And three, you guessed it, $30. And we also have, and I'd like to give this as, and I don't know if I've already given one of you these to you. This is a thing called the Family Project, and I'd like to give this into LMC, and you put it in your library, a type of thing. It's a small group curriculum, or you could do it in your own home. It's about just how we should do families as God ordained. And I'd like to give that to you, Pastor Graham. And you can actually put those there. And then the movie Irreplaceable, which that is also going into that little thing. So we'd like to gift you those things. So here's a little bit of a clip. It goes for about 2 minutes. And away you go.
Family is crumbling and falling apart. We can see that everywhere we look. Broken family is everywhere. And that's why I'm going on this journey. To travel to the ends of the earth if necessary, to find out what is wrong with the family.
this idea that you're supposed to separate emotion from sex.
It hasn't created the freedom that was promised. It's actually made a culture of slaves.
We live in a consumer society, and that has been translated into relationships. Our culture is so much about me and the individual. We should be encouraging a world where men and women embrace their roles as parents.
Boys need these models of manhood, of how to be a man, and they're losing out on that by not having their fathers involved in their lives.
When you have that cultural attitude that fathers don't necessarily play a unique and irreplaceable role in their children's lives, us dads ourselves often underestimate how important our role is.
I don't want that. I don't want it for my kids. I don't want it for anybody. I set out on a journey to find out what's wrong with the family. I never realized how much of an impact it'd have on me.
What do you think a father can do to be a better father?
It's easy to blame a lot of other outside factors, but I find it is my own selfishness, my own desires, my own laziness, you know, that can tend to get in the way of giving myself away to my children, to my spouse.
I got lost. I was blind. I've come so far in life only because I had so far to go.
The Bible has taught me not to change anybody else, because I can't change anybody else, but I mean, it's taught me how to change me.
I want to be there for my kids, for my wife. Not just physically present, but really there for them. Really loving them.
I mentioned this morning about the situation where the father was asked the question, you know, what you can do to be a better father. And he's talking about selfishness and his wife's going like this. But the story is that father, you know, was a successful businessman, and then everything was going well and he thought he had it all together, and then he had a Down syndrome child, and it just changed his whole perspective of life and how he's turned, you know, the difficulties of what he was going through and actually turning around for good. And that's what we do at Focus on the Family. We want to turn around people's situations, and we get phone calls and emails from all over Australia, and you're never too sure who's going to be ringing or emailing us seeking advice. Some of the decisions they've made may be poor, maybe the choices they've made make it very difficult for them. And what we'd like to share with you today is trying to give everyone and what we see in this room to fill your God-given potential. So I'm going to get Kate to read out the verse, and if you've got your Bibles here, turn to Romans 12, and Kate will read out and start.
Romans 12, a living sacrifice. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. I'm just going to open in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you that you are great. In that song we were just singing, Lord, how great is our God. Lord, we stand in awe of just how great you are. Lord, we ask that as we speak tonight that your words will come out from our mouth. Lord, that we will set aside our selfishness and need to fulfill our desires and our wants, to be able to tap into what real life in you looks like. Lord, we ask that the Holy Spirit be able to be ever present as he intercedes for us before God. Lord, we just ask that you be with each one of us and you speak to each one of us as we sit here tonight in whatever capacity that they need to hear. Lord, we thank you. Amen.
Amen. I was 10 years of age when I had my first part-time job. I sold papers in a factory, and that's when you used to get paid with coins and a little yellow envelopes. And papers at that time used to be 10 cents. And then they went to 12 cents, and then they went to 15 cents. And as a result of that, I used to get paid $3 a week. And I used to make about $12 to $15 of tips a week. When you're 10 years of age, that's a lot of money. But I couldn't do that, and then I ended up, my next part-time job was that I used to deliver papers. And I loved that. Sometimes when it rained, my mum used to drive me. I loved that. My next part-time job is that I actually was just after high school. I ended up, I was actually school captain at my school, and I was just about to start my nursing profession. That's where I was, my first training was as a critical care nurse, and I loved that. But before that, I cleaned toilets. I was a school captain, and I went back as the school cleaner for 6 months. It's very humbling, but I loved it. And then I also went into a place to get my brother's wedding suit measured for me. And I must have looked unemployed because the guy said, do you need a job? I said, yes. And then he offered me a job there and there on the spot. And I did that for 6 months. And I loved that. The reason why I love part-time work is because it was just bite-sized. I could do what I wanted to do and have a lot of free time, and I was pretty carefree. But then I started my nursing career and working full time. And my first thought was, bring back part-time work. And when I reflect upon that now, I've been working full time for about 30-odd plus years. Now, some of you may have been working longer than that, but that's a long time. And I'm always thinking part-time looks very attractive. The trouble is, people put their part-time mentality into not only just their jobs, and sometimes it can be possible to do that, but they also put the part-time mentality into every other aspect of their lives. Sometimes as a husband, sometimes as a father, sometimes as a son, sometimes as a wife, a mother, or a daughter. We can put these type of things and we don't give what we should be doing in our roles. And really, you can't be a part-time dad. You can't be a part-time mum. You certainly can't be a part-time husband, and you can't be a part-time wife. But then you can also apply it, if you're not married here and you don't have kids, you can also apply this to a lot of other areas of your life, that we need to be full-time in lots of areas, but the most important thing is to be full-time in our walk with God. I mentioned some of these: marriage, parenting, friendships. Sometimes we can think about, you know, like a lot of people say, you know, I just don't have the time. I just don't have the time. But sometimes we don't have, we can't afford not to give time to our friends and our family. We just can't do that. We can't do that with our studies. I mean, our three boys are all studying at the moment, and I think sometimes, one of my sons thinks that he's adopted because the other two study all the time. Well, actually, only one of them really studies all the time. The other two are sort of, you know, part-time mentality, and they realise when the exams come or when something, an assignment, then they start getting more full-time engaged. But unfortunately, because of their part-time mentality, things suffer as a result. We can do that with, I've done some diets in my time and we've done really, really well. And I went on a diet, and both my wife and I, we lost about 10 kilograms in weight, and we were very disciplined. And then eventually that discipline can sort of waver a little bit. And then you start putting on the good, you know, kilograms that you actually lost a little bit of a little later on. But anything that requires discipline and efforts, we tend to actually put into the part-time category rather than the full-time category. And I mentioned this before about our faith. A lot of the times we don't put it in the 100% in our faith. And maybe you're here today and you're saying, well, you know, I come to church on, you know, in the Sunday morning, and I come to church on a Sunday night, or I go to a small group and I do all those type of things, but, you know, you can't expect me to think about God all the time. Well, again, I don't think we can afford not to include God all the time. Kate's a prime example of how she includes God in every aspect of her life.
I've actually suffered with a lot of health issues in the past. And so I've spent a lot of time lying in my bed. And I was a sport teacher, phys ed teacher, so I was very active. I played a lot of sport myself at a high level prior to getting married. And so God stopping me in my tracks was quite a difficult thing for me to come to terms with. And so I could have gone the other way. I could have gone the way of, why have you stuck me here? What are you doing? You know, I should be active. I'm young. I'm, you know, I should be doing this, should be doing that. And I remember lying. I had a serious car accident. And I remember not being able to listen to anything. I couldn't read anything. We'd just basically been married for a year. And I said to God, well, you kept me safe. I mean, I was bedridden, but I was safe. The other person involved in the accident was safe. And so I lay in bed and I said, Lord, what is it you want to talk to me about? Because I can't read God's word. I can't listen to it because the nervous system got damaged. And I said to him, well, this is where, you know, when I've read in your word that you can talk through visions, you can talk through dreams, you can talk through people who come and see me. And I said, I want to hear. God has to be a part of everything that we're involved in. And believe me, he was faithful. I had dreams, I had visions, you name it, it happened. Because God met me in my place. And the same happens, you know, when you've got young children. I remember my kids, one child screaming blue murder. And I stood in my bedroom. Anyone who's had young children, you're going to relate to this. I stood in my bedroom. I had put my child in its cot. And I said, God, if you don't do something with this child now, I cannot vouch for its safety. He's yours. You love him more than I do. So you better do something now. Anyway, I'm not joking. 2 seconds, the phone rings. It's my sister. What's the matter? Is there something wrong with one of the boys? And I went, well, that you wanted him to live. So, you know, we need to involve him in every single part. We think it's menial, but he wants every part of us. He wants us to talk about every single thing. He cares about every single thing that we're going through. I spoke to, I've got a friend who said to me, oh, I don't think he cares about those little details, Kate. It's all in your head. And I said, well, see, that's not true because Scripture tells us he knows every hair on our head. Now, if you ask me, that's menial. He knows how many grains of sand are on the beach. That's menial. He knows. He cares and he knows. He knows every sparrow that drops to the ground. So every thought we have, everything we are going through, he wants to know about it and he wants us to talk to him about it. Because if we don't, we're trying to do life on our own. And that's not living life to the full. Full time with God is living life to the full.
And it's that full time mentality, and we can apply that. The more we actually include God in everything else, guess what actually happens? There's a ripple effect that takes place. Mm. You become a better husband, you become a better wife, better father, better mother, better employee. You become a better student, you become a better neighbour, you become better in all sorts of areas. And if we get those things in our world and we put God first, we actually have this incredible, mathematical transaction that God really is interested. So that's why we have to include him full time, not just part time, or not when we actually just in desperate situations, because quite often we can actually say, I can do it myself. Like a little boy or a little girl says, I do it myself. And until they get frustrated enough, then they go, Mummy or Daddy, can you please help me? We need to have a mentality that I can't do it myself, God. Can you help me? But you know that verse that Kate read out at the beginning, and we're talking about the patterns of this world. The patterns of this world are actually talking about, and they have this, and a lot of adverts are actually talking about this. And they say things like, what's in it for me? WIIFM. You know, we look at about it in a very self-seeking, whereas actually in the reverse, in God's kingdom, he's actually saying, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first, put him first, and everything else will fall into place. And if we get that right, we actually can have greater success in every area of our lives. We need to have a full-time mentality with our relationship with God. And as a result of those, that we can actually be fully engaged as our roles that actually we have to do. And we cannot afford just to give it a half-hearted effort. As a father, my role is so significant. I can't just say, look, I've got, you know, like at 9 o'clock on a Thursday evening, I've got a free time, bit of space. Can you come and tell me about any of your issues that you have? I'm going to be available for about half an hour. And okay, go. That's a part-time mentality. We need to be available and we need to be fully present. And Kate's excellent at the stealth parenting. Sometimes they don't want to talk and she just hangs around them, and they just suddenly, you know, like when they say, you know, how was your day? She gets a...
Well, it's a... Yeah, good. Care to expand? No, it was good. It was good. Nothing much to report. So I very much wanted to be a part of their life. A lot of people go, oh, they're in secondary school now. They don't need me as much. Not true. The world is screaming at our kids, not just quietly talking, screaming about where to head, what to do, what's going to make them feel good, what's the next thing, you know, that's going to, you know, rock their world. And as parents, we need to, you know, be present. And so I very much set it up, well planned. I used to go into the boys' rooms and just hang. So they'd be sitting at their desk studying. I would lie on their bed. And so I would be marking, because I've been a teacher, and so I would take my marking with me, lie on their bed, read a book, whatever, and I might, as I'm doing something, or they might say, oh, what are you doing? And so we'd ask questions, and as everybody just started to relax, the conversations flowed. And so, you know, I'd get to know what was happening in their world. And that was done on purpose. It's intentional. Because I want them to know that I'm setting aside time. They're more important than anything else that's going on in my world. Of course, there's so many demands on parents and, you know, businessmen, businesswomen, you know, uni, working, etc. But families require work and they take time. And so to set aside time to get to know what's going on in their world, if they're going through stuff, and being able to talk through it and just letting them know that you're there any time. It's not a 10-minute slot. It's any time.
And you can include God in all those conversations. Deuteronomy chapter 6 talks about, as a parent, we're meant to, you know, teach them about loving the Lord God with all your heart and soul and strength. And then it says, impress them upon your kids. When you're walking along the road, when you're getting up in the morning, when you're driving them to soccer, when you're actually, that's in the 21st century type of thing. It doesn't say that in the Old Testament. But it's actually putting in the vernacular. We actually include God in all the conversations because they're watching and observing. Are you a full-time Christian or a part-time Christian? Because we know that we've all fallen short of our ideal. You know that in Romans where it talks about we've all fallen short of God's glory, our ideal that he has for them. We have all made mistakes. And, you know, like, unfortunately, we make those mistakes all too often. And we need to admit it, dust ourselves off, and get back on to the wagon. Paul did this when he said this, you know, said, I do not understand what I do and I don't want to do. It's a bit like Dr. Seuss, really, when... For those, I'm a kids pastor or was a kids pastor, and I like to use things that rhyme. This isn't rhyme, but it's actually, I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do. You know, there's things, there's jobs sometimes that are difficult. Sometimes we just want to escape and we want to not do everything. You know, it's hard work being a father. It's hard work being a mother. It's hard work being a husband. But I need to be fully engaged. I can't just say, you know, like, you know, do my minimum, you know, input to reap the benefits. My engagement with my wife needs to be full-time as a husband, not part-time. And as a result of that, then we can actually have this wonderful, wonderful relationship and be able to do things together. And we enjoy each other's company. But if anyone, for young people who think that they're, you know, once they get their boyfriend and girlfriend, they'll be complete, you need to be complete in Christ. Mm. Your husband, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whatever it is, complements you. They don't complete you.
I just wanted to say too, you know, with the young people, you've got it tough. You do. There are so many pressures on you to be a certain thing and to fit in, you've got to do certain things. I just want to encourage you that you don't. To stand firm.
Tears will come anytime, just letting you know.
Yes. And I say this because our eldest is heavily involved in sport. And, we, you know, we've talked about alcohol in our family. And so it's been a decision by everyone in our family that no one drinks. You know, we're not against alcohol, but we, that's our stance. And he has played, you know, footy. He's played basketball. He has had pressure on him, you know, drugs, everything. And he has just been able to stand and say, you know what, guys, I don't do that kind of stuff. If you want to do it, that's your choice, but can I suggest there's another way? He's just played in the uni games basketball, very, very high-level basketball, and a captain, the captain who, I mean, they were so drunk. It was just a tragic scenario. He stayed in the city with these guys, and I said to him, darling, I trust you, be very careful, because it's just the environment. And he said, look, don't worry about it, Mum. He's very strong, so, you know, but just being in that environment is poor. But he said, Mum, one of the guys, after he just had a couple of drinks, he's 26 years old, so he was on his second undergraduate degree, put his hand on my son's shoulder and said, I look at you and I've wasted my life already. And he said, how do I be you? And he said, Mum, it just broke my heart because they don't see any hope. And he said, you know, there was an 18-year-old there who felt so pressured to drink. And he said, mate, decide what you stand for. Show them respect and then stand. He goes, feel free to stay home with me. We'll watch a movie. And he said, I'm scared of the retribution. And he said, well, maybe this is not the time, but next time. Know what you believe in. Whether you're a Christian or not, what are your principles? What do you want to stand for? And I think it's really important that young people understand that you can stand. He was so respected. It was extraordinary. The captain ended up saying to him, mate, don't you pay a thing. You've been just outstanding. We totally respect you. Wish our lives looked like yours. So you don't know that that's happening, but it's happening. You think everybody's looking at you going, oh, she's a wuss or he's a wuss because he's not getting in the thing. But if you do it in a respectful way, then you can do it. Like, you're not judging them. They can still be great people, just lost. And we were all lost. We still struggle. You know, it's just that we're saved by grace. That's it.
And that happens to anyone. If you're in the workplace, standing up for your morals, standing up for your beliefs, people are watching. They're observing. And they want something that's real. And you're the only reality they may ever get to see. And so when we say that, you know, like, you can't afford to be part-time in your faith or part-time in your roles, we are Christ's ambassadors wherever we are. And we're so proud of our son, but it's amazing how many people say, they go, I wish I could not.
I wish I
could do what you do. You know, I wish I didn't have to drink. And Taylor would say, yeah, you can. And now it's not just focusing on alcohol. It's other systems of belief. And my son was talking about pornography to a friend of his at school. And I don't know how it all came up. And Lachlan proceeded to tell him all about the dangers of pornography. You know, and the guy was going, no one's ever said anything to me before. No one's ever... That actually makes sense. And we were so proud that Lachlan was able to share this sort of good news to him. And the guy at the end of it said, you know what, I'm never going to look at that stuff again. You know, giving them some hope. So whatever role that we actually do, this verse comes down to whatever you do, do it with all your heart. Not for man's accolades, but you know what? God has a great sense of humor because he actually allows man to praise us. But we're not doing it for, you know, man's praise. We do it unto God. So when you're an employee, you give it your best. When you're a husband, you give it your best. When you're a wife, you give it your best. When you're a Christian, you give it your best. And he's not expecting us to be consistent in every, you know, be perfect. And I love this poster where it says, consistency is not perfection, it's simply refusing to give up. We said before, we've all fallen short, and we're all going to make mistakes, we're all going to make errors, all things that we're not proud of. But he's not asking for perfection. He's asking for us to come before him and humbly say, God, I give you my all. I give you my all. And as we come to, you know, nearing the threat, you know, we've got so, nearing the end, we've got so many choices. So many choices. In fact, some studies have done, and we've got, we make about 35,000 conscious decisions every day. You and I make 35,000 decisions. Some of them are going to be incidental, but some of them are going to be much more significant. And some of them are going to be good decisions, and some of them are not going to be good decisions. But you are in control of every aspect. And God wants to allow himself to be fully present in that decision-making processes. And Kate is ideal at this, of including God in her prayers. And God always comes up at the 11th hour sometimes with the answers. This, the Isaac Newton said this, for every action there is an equal and opposite reaction. Every choice you're going to have, there is going to be some consequences of it. And you can't be free of all those consequences. You can't be free of those consequences. And we need to ensure that God is part of every choice, because there are going to be consequences. Some outstanding, and we want to thrive in what God has for us. But if we go outside of the parameters that God has for us, there are going to be consequences. We're not free from those. We're free to choose everything we like to do, but we're not free from the consequences. Never, ever free from the consequences of those choices. So often as we come before God and we're saying, well, what do you want from my life? What do you want? What do you want from me, God? What do you want? God has incredible plans. And I know you probably heard that all the time. But I just really felt when we were during the worship time, I was actually thinking, and I said to Kate, I said, you know what, I feel like, you know, especially some young people here and even older, more mature people, you know, we're all asking for what, how can I be used by you, God? And he's wanting to talk to us. I was just encouraged by my a friend I just met today at the back there, and she was, her husband's in a nursing home, and she just was reflecting on some of the things that we shared about today, and she was talking about being slow to speak but quick to listen, slow to speak and slow to get angry. And there was a situation today, and then she was noted by some of the other nursing staff to, you're a nice lady. Just that alone is just a witness and a testimony. Where is God positioning you in your school places, in your work, in your homes, in your neighborhood, even in this church? How is God planting you, and how can he be used by you?
Just with the how God wants to use us, and I always spend a lot of time in prayer, and I suppose you'd say it was incidental prayer. So it's through the day. So I'll be doing anything, you know, with the kids, you know, it could be at sport, it could be anywhere. And, you know, I've always wanted to be the best mother I could be. You know, I've got a job to do. God entrusted my kids, you know, entrusted the boys to us. They're on loan. We've got a job to do and shoot them out. You know, he's got a plan for them to, you know, to take on the world. I don't know, whatever his plan is for them. But it's exciting. But I've got a job to do in that process, and I want to do it the best possible way I can. And the only way I can do that is to include God, because he knows them through and through, more than I'll ever know them. And so I have to go to him and say, what is it you want me to do for them? And I, look, at many occasions I've sat in my car, and Brett was referring to us, you know, in terms of focus on the family when we were raising our boys. I remember sitting in the car going, you know, this coach was just horrific. And I literally sat in the car and said, God, I want to go and rip into him right now. Is that okay? Needless to say, he goes, yeah, no, I don't think so. I just said, what am I supposed to do? What is the plan here? I'm driving to the basketball because he was playing a long weekend thing. And I said, I am so angry. What am I supposed to do? Tell me right now, or I'm going to do something that I'm going to regret. And I don't want to do that, because we're all going to learn something. So tell me what it is. And right then and there, James Dobson came on. And what does he say? Don't be a helicopter mum. Don't run in every time your child faces a difficult time, because if you do, you can thwart a time where your child's character is going to be developed. Just like that. And I was like, thank you so much. And so from that minute on, then I had to take my son home and say, well, you can quit. You can sit there in a foul attitude, or you can go up to the coach and say, I'll respect you. Whatever you say, I will do. And I'm sorry that I asked you to go on the court. And that's that. And I said, so let's pray about it. What do you want to do? He said, I'm going to go talk to him. He was 10 years old. He was 10. And I just couldn't believe it. And he went and he shook that guy's hand. He said, I will sit here. And you know what? The coach apologised. Not only did he apologise, but that coach was actually replaced by a coach that absolutely loved him, and he got all the court time in the world. It was the most extraordinary story. And I think to myself, if I had have intervened, he wouldn't have developed that understanding of maturely going and speaking to the coach. He wouldn't have understood that God can intervene when we don't. If we go and busily step ourselves in when he's trying to do something, then we thwart what he's got in mind. So we need to be very aware to include him, because our natural bent is to try and fix something. We want to fix it. We want to fix it our way. But our way does not work. His way is perfect. His way is perfect. Ours is flawed. So we need to be very aware that this full-time walk with God is filled with life. It might be tough. It's going to be tough. We all know that. We're going to walk through tough stuff. But he promises to walk it with us if we let him. He's not going to push himself on us.
And we can include God in every aspect. It's not just all those roles, but you could be used and you don't even realise how you can be used. There's a verse in 1 Peter, it says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. I was on a plane trip. I'd just come back from quite a heavy schedule up in Queensland, and I just said to God, I don't want to talk to anyone. That's not a good thing to say to God, because then he does have other things in mind. And I sat down, and well, actually, I couldn't sit down because someone was in my seat. I said, excuse me, you're in my seat. She goes, oh, sorry, sorry, sorry. And she slid across. And I said, are you okay? She goes, oh, I'm scared of flying. I said, well, I'll talk you through it. And I thought, great. I've got one of those loving, caring attitude that I have. And I said to her, is there anything else? You seem to be a bit agitated. And she goes, yeah, I'm actually an ice addict and I'm just coming off my addiction. So I said, well, God, you've certainly got a sense of humour here. So she was scared of flying and she was an ice addict. And I said, look, there's something else going on in your world, isn't there? And she goes, how do you know? I said, I just tell me what's going on. And then she goes, well, I'm actually, my boyfriend just bashed me up and I'm a victim of domestic violence. And I said, great. And then I said to her again, I said, there's something else going on in your world. She goes, actually, I've got an 8-year-old daughter I've never been able to look after because of my ice addiction and living with my boyfriend, and I'm going to be going back to my mother and who's looking after my daughter, and I don't know what to do. So for the next hour and a half, I had this incredible opportunity of just sharing with her of all the people she could sit next to. And at the conclusion, I gave her my address and connected to her churches in the area that she was living with. And I don't know whether she took those offers up, but I'm just saying being a full-time Christian gives you opportunities that you never imagined. And then as we're just coming to land, I said, are you okay? And then the lady in front of me, she says, I'm scared of flying too. She probably heard the whole conversation for the last hour and a half. And all I'm saying is this, is that verse that we shared before, and we're coming to the conclusion, and the band can come up if they'd like. She talks about being a living sacrifice, not conforming to the patterns of this world, but being renewed in our minds. And that's a decision that each and every one of you will need to make. How are you going in your role as a father? How are you going as your role in a mother? How are you going as a husband or a wife? How are you going as a student? How are you going as a neighbour and a friend? Lots of questions, and only you can answer that. But most importantly out of all of this is how are you going with your relationship with God? We can't afford not to be a full-time Christian. So I'd like to close in prayer and just and offer these prayers to you. So if you'd like to just stand, I just feel like it's standing and just if that resonates within you and just all of us, just to recommit our relationship with God and to say, look, Lord, I know I've fallen short. I know I've fallen short of the ideal that you have for me. But you know what? From this day forward, I'd like to make a slight adjustment in my world, to make a slight adjustment in my attitude and my thought processes. And I don't want to conform to the patterns of this world, which talks about what's in it for me. But I actually say, oh, what's in it for you, for me to be your hands, your feet, your mouthpiece? How can I be the very best version of myself? How can I be your ambassador? Father God, I just pray for everyone here present, I include myself, that the times when we try and do things in our own strength, we're so sorry. We're so sorry that we try and we struggle and we strive without much progress, and we only turn to you when we're desperate. Lord, we're desperate for you now. We recommit our lives to you, and I pray for my brothers and sisters here and for myself that we put you first. We seek you first, and everything else will be added unto us according to your plans and your purposes for each and every one of us. We claim that victory that you are great, and we want to worship you with all of our whole heart and whole mind and soul and strength. And as we do, you put you first, everything else will fall into place. And even from this day forward, we'll see changes happening in families, seeing changes happening in marriages, seeing changes happening in our studies, seeing changes in our workplace, because we put you first. And then we'll be able to share the good news of Jesus Christ when people come and ask. You don't have it all together, but you've got something. And it opens up a great conversation. I pray, Holy Spirit, help us by your grace and your mercy to be the very best version that you possibly can be. And then we'll be able to testify of your goodness and your grace. And we'll sing this song with great gusto about how great you really are. In Jesus' name, amen.